Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome back to the Agora Podcast Network's The Exchange. Our guests today are Travis Dow and Pete Coleman, the Agora Podcasters of the Month for April 2016. Pete and Travis are the team behind Podcastnik, which is the broader entity in which they keep their stable of shows that includes The History of Germany, The History of Alchemy, The Bohemican Podcast, The Secret Cabinet, and many, many more. These two gentlemen bring a wonderful positivity and enthusiasm to every aspect of every project they seem to come across. This interview was no different. Having four previous episodes under my belt, I won't say I thought I had The Exchange down to a science, because I never want the show to be overly formulaic. But I was bowled over by these two guys. Just wind them up and let them go, and what resulted is by far the most personal and conversational discussion I've had on this show to date. One which meandered from podcasts to productions to hobbies to life in general. One of the most interesting things I took from this conversation is the unique internationalist perspective Travis and Pete bring to podcasting. As an American living in the heart of Europe, Pete tries to transmit his experiences there and make them relatable to Americans. As an American largely raised in Europe and having one foot well established in two worlds, Travis is a sort of conduit, making American culture more digestible for his European listeners, and vice versa. All told, this talk was great fun to be a part of, and was one of those talks you didn't really want to end. Throughout, though, I do my best to stay out of the way and not to impede the flow. Hopefully I succeeded, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. So without further ado, here you go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining me today are Travis Dow and Pete Coleman. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for having us. Hi.
All right. Glad to have you here at a diverse set of hours. Very early for Travis as we're recording. Not so much for myself and Pete. So we thank you, Travis, specifically.
Sure. I'm used to it. I have to get up this early anyways to milk the cow. No, I mean to edit all my podcasts, so.
Very good. All right, guys. I think I kind of want to start today, just by pointing out, Travis, you lived in Germany for many years, and you're now in California. Mm-hmm. Pete, you're from Virginia and now live in the Czech Republic.
That's right, in Prague.
In the heart of Europe, in the Golden City. So my first question is probably obvious. Like, how did this partnership come to be?
Travis, why don't you start it off, buddy?
Oh, man. Yeah, so I did. So I also lived in the Czech Republic for 10 years. And Pete and I we're still currently also colleagues. So we have the same employer. And we're both tech writers. And when I was living in Prague, I think... Like, Pete had just started, so Pete liked history. We were both just talking history over, in the kitchen over coffee from, like, day one. That's what we had in common. And, yeah. Probably on day two, I was like, hey, do you listen to history podcasts? And at that point, I was listening to, History of Rome, stuff you missed in history class, and those kind of things. And he was like, no, haven't yet, that kind of thing. When did I actually propose, hey, let's do a podcast?
I think it was the third day of my employment.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, I don't think he'd even been there. It was probably less than a month for sure.
I came in and saying, who are you again?
Yeah, and I was like, hey, okay, because Pete, so he's got journalism experience, or, you know, he studied journalism and had kind of college radio shows. And so that, you know, we were kind of talking about these kind of things. And I was like, oh, that's, hey, you could, you know, we should do this. And then, and I had been thinking of, so Prague is, I was a ghost tour just for the fun of it, like just to get out into the city and, you know, see the city and something to do after work. So it was like night hours. I'd get home at midnight and I'd walk around in a World War One lantern wearing a top hat and a trench coat and tell you stories, mostly ghost stories, but also history about Prague. And I was like, you know, I got, and a lot of them, so because it's Prague, a lot of them are about alchemy and you know, medieval stuff. And, you know, it's all on cobblestones and cathedrals. And a lot of it's history of science and just interesting stories that just happened right there. And I'd point them out. And I was like, oh, this would just be such a great podcast. So, yeah, slowly History of Alchemy was born and Bohemican was born. That's well, what started
let,
it all.
Let me interject with this for the listeners, because Travis just wasn't walking around by himself with a lantern and a top hat saying, hey, do you want to hear about history? He actually was employed by a tourist group.
Sometimes I only had one tourist.
Say that.
So, or one. Sometimes I had like a group of one or two people. So it almost did seem like I was just insane telling my friends, like wearing a top hat. And we go down to the torture chamber. Like, so there's an underground Prague. All of Prague has an underground. And specifically, I'd give tours in old 17th century, like a 30-year war era and before, torture chambers that are right under the like very famous astronomical clock of Prague. If you don't know the astronomical clock of Prague, just Google image that, you know, it's like amazing. And I'd tell ghost stories underneath that clock tower, in front of that clock. And oh, it's just great. There's graffiti from the 30 years war from, you know, that down there. And it's just, yeah, it's just begging to be told. It's just great stories. So
that's great. So you guys were actually in Prague together at the same time. That's how it got started.
Yep.
Absolutely. We were working at the same company and we decided that, hey, after work, we're going to, you know,
our cubicles were separated by glass. You know, we were just like a pane of glass apart for 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, you know, and then we would, go off, find a meeting room and, you know, sit down with a microphone. And yeah, that's how it all started.
You know, it was great. I think Travis's, you know, love of alchemy, you know, was one of the things that he said, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to do a show. And by the way, I'm now living in Prague, which was pretty much the historical seat of medieval alchemy. And, you know, that was just a natural connection. For me, when we started the Bohemican podcast, it was my way of acclimating to the society. And even though I still struggle with the language of Czech, which is really hard, I wanted to, you know, give my opportunity to learn where I'm going to be, where I'm going to raise my kids.
Yeah.
And as kind of a tip of the hat to the Czech people, because I think whenever you move or you travel to another country, there's a level of respect that you should give by, you know, trying to be somewhat acclimated.
So Pete's kids speak Czech. Pete's kids are like fluent Czech speaker, and they're 16 and 10, 11 and...
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Tennessee. Yeah. And they're like native Czech, just Czech. And so Pete's, you know, it's almost not fair. I mean, to Pete, so Czech is a very difficult language. I lived there 10 years. My Czech sucks. Like, I could survive if my life depended on it. And I can obviously order anything, you know, food and beer, certainly. But you know, oh man, it's a hard language. So yeah, I learned so much figuring out Bohemian stuff.
It was a good lesson, because, you know, what I wanted to do with the title of the show is Bohemian, which is Bohemian American, kind of a cross blend there, and that experience from an American expat, you know, living overseas. And since both of us were, you know, American expat with two different backgrounds, still kind of having a similar experience of acclimation, we thought that, you know, it'd be a great idea to learn more about the culture, the legends, the stories that seem to get lost in the mix, because, you know, the Czech history and the Czech, you know, sort of footprint in Europe really does get lost in the mix of all these other really grandiose empires and cultures. And we thought that, hey, this is going to be a niche show. Maybe we'll have 10 people. Maybe Travis, you can say that in a minute about amazed we were, because we first started the show. And I think within a week or so, we're like, dude, we've got 10 people listening. That's fantastic.
Yeah. At some point, we're like, oh my God, we could fill a classroom. Who are these people? You know, this is awesome. And
That's interesting. I kind of want to stick with Bohemican for a minute. So listening to it, it has a very personal feel to it, and it seems like there are some something special about it to you, Pete, particularly the bedtime story episodes.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
You know, which yeah. do feature at least one. You have multiple children or just one child?
I've got two kids. Okay. I have a daughter who's now 17 in high school here. And she's smart as a whip and extremely talented and has a foothold in both worlds of American and European background. And my son, who is 10 years old, has spent a good chunk of his time here in Czech Republic now. And those bedtime stories were actually spawned from some of our great listeners that we have around the world. And I think it was one particular person in Australia that had a Czech background. And she was emailing me, saying, "Hey, I love the show. I'm trying to get my kids to understand about where I grew up, and they're basically Australian. So, it would be great. Could you talk more about stories?" And I started thinking about that. And I said, "You know what? Let's get the other Coleman involved, my son." This is really happening. I just take my iPhone and we just lay on the bed. I read him a book or tell him a story, and we record the whole thing. And so when you hear that, you're actually hearing real, honest to God, going to bed bedtime stories. So
and his comments. Yeah. Nathaniel is the star of these of these episodes.
He's a star of my life, man. He's awesome, and he's great. I mean, the latest one we did was on Jewish Prague, and I thought, I wonder how much my son knows about the up and down history here, usually down of the Jewish population in Prague. And because the school he goes to does a lot of field trips around here, he knew so much.
Yeah.
And he was really in tune with the hardships that the Jewish people had to face. And I was really impressed by my own son. It was really cool.
Yeah. That's great. It's so authentic. You can feel the authenticity, I think, completely in episodes like that. And it is really heartwarming. I'm a father too. And the whole the whole conceit of the episode, I think, is just wonderfully conceived and well executed.
Thank you.
And to think that it's just on an iPhone,
yep.
is pretty funny. Let's stick with you, Pete, for a second, because, you're not just a one-trick pony. You do freelance writing and photography as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do. One of the things, and I think, Travis, I don't want to speak for you on this one either, but, technical writing in the career is a new career path for me in the past, let's say, 5 years. I come from a radio background a little bit in the 90s and public relations. But if you come as an expat to Czech Republic, usually you're going to have a better time of trying to find something in the technical field than anything else. And so I jumped right into it. Learning curve was pretty big. But one of the problems with just focusing on technical writing is only focus really on one part of your brain. And it's not a very stressful job. I think it's pretty cool to be able to communicate with other developers and learn, the IT field. But as far as being creative, it lacks some of that. And I think that this was needed to be able to do a show like this.
Seconded.
And,
yes.
And yeah. Yeah. and try to expand upon those things, in your brain and be artistic. And that goes as well as my other hobbies with photography. And I drive around Czech Republic in the summers and even the winter sometime, taking photographs and learning about these places and also having, ideas for scripts for the podcast. So it all kind of plays into itself. And, and one of the shows, I think maybe a couple of shows, Travis, I think I mentioned before that I'm a person living with a disability. And I think that part of that is me getting out there and really pushing the accessibility of finding out the accessibility of things and reporting that back to either my audience or my blogs. About living in Europe as a wheelchair user.
Yeah. Can I jump in? So some of these stories, absolutely. There's going to be, okay. So to give you like a little sneak peek preview of what's coming maybe next year, is a show called, I think we're going to call it Past Access. Yeah. And I don't want to, Pete will give you the elevator pitch, he can explain it better than me, but so we would, when we both lived in Prague together, it would be like, oh, okay, there's this reenactment, Prussian-Austrian battle somewhere in, obviously in a wheat field somewhere, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're like, all right. And we jump in Pete's car and we have breakfast at McDonald's and we're out. And we get to the field, and so we park, and then it's like, all right, now Pete's in a wheelchair. Like, how far can we, you know, so we start pushing him and then it starts getting muddy. And then it's like, all right. And we're going uphill. I'm sweating. He's sweating. And it's like, and Chex, I mean, so, I don't want to say Chex are friendly because often on a like customer service level, they come across as very rude. But in this scenario, people are just like making way and just like helping to, maybe even causing more harm than good, trying to, you know, like lift the wheelchair and making Pete fall out or something. But, you know, we get to the top and we get a great view and, there's times like when I'm not there, like, you know, there's firemen that come out and try to get him out of the mud and like stories like this. This is all behind the scenes. We just on Bohemian, then we go, you know, shower off the sweat and come to work the next day and tell you about it, about the reenactment we went and saw. And we show you the photographs that, you know, Pete takes with just an amazing knack and talent for photography of these reenactments. But what you don't see is like our sweat and blood trying to get up these hills and just you know, all of Prague is cobblestoned, basically all of Old Town, and it's on an incline. Prague is built on hills, and you just don't think about these things until you're with somebody in a wheelchair or in a wheelchair yourself, and you're just like, all right, this is, let's do this. And like, I think the thing is that it doesn't slow him down at all. So Pete has seen more of the Czech Republic in 3 years, 4 years. How long have you lived there now? 5 years?
Yeah, almost five now, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen more than I've seen in 10 years. Like by an order of magnitude, perhaps, just like, you know, driving around and like, all right, you know, researching ahead of time, even using buses and things and, you know, researching your history. But, you know, like, okay, this castle, obviously this 12th century castle will not be accessible, but I'm going to just start getting into courtyards and see how far I'll get, you know, and it just kind of works out and like great stories come of this. So we're going to, we're going to give you more of that, you know, just those things. And it's also very personal and it's, you know, great fun and struggle and, a lot more of that's coming. I think that's just a great aspect of who we are, who Pete is, and who Podcastnik is, and all this stuff. So,
And Thomas, I think that, you know, Travis had it. You know, that's one thing I miss since Travis has moved back to the United States and California. Is that you know, I don't have this other buddy to go out with me all these times to do this. So I do this all on my own, and you know, I get out in a lot of interesting situations. I think Travis alluded to the mud thing. Do we have time to talk about the mud thing?
I was thinking about Lair also. You're like, you're at the bus stop, you get out, and then you're like, just in the middle of nowhere, and you know, in northern Germany, flat countryside, but in a field basically. And it's like, oh, great, okay.
Yeah, I asked a guy, it's like, how far to the town? Oh, it's about 15 kilometers. 15 kilometers? All right. Start pushing. But no, I think there's one time, and you can see some of this stuff if Thomas. So I hope you don't mind. I do a couple shameless plugs here. If that's okay.
Oh, I encourage you greatly.
Okay. if you want to see some of the photography that inspires some of the podcasts that we do, you can go to Coleman Photography, and that's Collman Photography. My name's spelled a little bit different. Last name's a little different, but it's you can see a lot of this stuff out there that I've done. It's all in Czech Republic and some on my European travels. But some of these things match really well, especially the battle engagements or the reenactments that we see. And there's one really quick story that I was doing one of the stories for the podcast and for our YouTube channel that we have on Bohemic and YouTube, which was the Battle of Bela Hora. Now, that's usually that happened in 1620, and it really kind of sparked a lot of the changes in Europe with the Hussite. With the 30 Years' War.
It was central, and, yeah,
very central. And the thing was is that they do a reenactment every year with these great reenactors. And so I took my son out there, and it was the night before there was a heavy metal concert with a Czech band that's just known here called Kabat. Okay. Now, Kabat is just, you know, it's a 1980s, you know, hair band, heavy rock stuff. And they're like all my age now in their 40s. So, you know, but they still draw a lot of people. So the night before is just a mosh pit, and it rained. So the next day it comes out, the sun's out. I'm thinking maybe we should try it. Let's give it a try. Wheeling out in the middle of this field. All right. And all of a sudden, it just starts raining, man. And the pictures are great. If you look online, the pictures are great because it really did rain in 1620.
Really good. Yeah.
And it was miserable. So as we left, I started pushing my wheelchair. I was going further and further into the mud, almost to the axle. Okay. So we get to this point. My son's like, I can't help you anymore, Dad. I'm like, I know, buddy. So we get to the point, and we're right. There's this giant fire truck stuck in the mud at the entrance, and it's just making these rivets trying to get out of it. They finally get the fire truck out, but there's just basically this giant ditch of mud in front of me. And I'm like, okay, thanks, guys. So literally, and I mean literally, they did a fireman's carry to get me out of the situation. And so my son and I afterwards, we went to a car wash, and I got my wheelchair out in the car wash because I was just caked in mud, man. And, you know, I told this to Travis, like, dude, the things I do for this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, where'd you just come from? You look like you just came from the Battle of Bela Hora.
Dude, we say in Georgia,
that's not even funny.
I went mud bogging for sure.
Man, yeah, 4x4. Yeah, Pete, you tried to do 4x4 again, and oh man, when will you learn? There's just great stories like that, and obviously the point of all that is that it's all worth seeing. It's Central Europe. It's all pivotal to Central European history, and it's the stuff we don't tell on all the other podcasts, and so. I think it'll be just a fantastic show, and Pete has great insight in, you know, comparing living in Prague, where it's all cobblestones and historic buildings that are not accessible to some degree, comparing that to like Washington D.C. or Atlanta, where just, you know, we have, it's by law everything is accessible, and just it's apples and oranges. So I'm looking forward to that, actually. So.
Well, that's great. And I actually do want to bring in your other a plethora of podcasts. But as way of prologue, Travis, tell us a little bit about your background, because you have sort of an interesting, you know, life story up to this point.
Yeah.
To me, case in point, is I remember on Facebook a while ago, you put up a picture of yourself as a very young boy at the falling Berlin Wall.
That's right. Yeah. So I gave a 10-minute version of my life story in German for a German podcast that I do. Now, eventually, those will probably be translated into English and changed, and it'll make its way into English. But if you speak German, you can go listen to my life history, and it explains a lot. Because I was born in Oregon. My parents are from California and Idaho, and we moved to Germany when I was 4, and my brother was like 2.5. And they just dropped us into a kindergarten at, you know, a very young age, just so we could, you know, learn German and meet other. And so our German quickly got better than that of our parents, and we could hear the accent and would make fun of them and stuff like that. And we just went to German schools. And when I was 10, was the first time we moved back to California, up in the woods, in the mountains, in Nevada City, actually, in the middle of gold mining country. Which is the topic of one of my episodes, but it was the first time I really sat in a classroom with other American kids, and I learned how to read and write English when I was 10, and that was, I was just, it was like culture shock, you know. And then back to Germany, and then I moved back to Oregon the day before a high school, which was again kind of shocking. And then I moved back to Munich, and then came back here for college. And I went to OSU, to Oregon State, in Corvallis, and go Beavers. But that's kind of a small town. So after school, I didn't know what to do. So I just bought an airplane ticket and got 2 nights in a hotel, and got an airplane ticket to Prague in the Czech Republic, and, you know, went there and used the first night in the hotel to like ask them, hey, where, you know, if you were looking for an apartment, where would you go? And they said, oh, go to expats.cz. And I, you know, so I went there and looked at a place, and looked at the place the next day, and was like, hey, so if I could move in like today, they're like, yeah, sure. And so I went to the hotel up the road, got my stuff, and had 6 roommates. 5 of them, I think, were English teachers. So I taught in English for a year and ended up staying in Czech Republic for 10 years. And now, just with my company, moved back to Silicon Valley and moved to Santa Clara, California. And I've been there for just like a year and a half now. So,
and if I can interject with this, you know, Travis brought up a good point for one of our upcoming shows on Bohemican about, you know, moving to Czech Republic. There's so many people that, you know, and I'm just going to drop a couple numbers.
Yeah, there's an episode coming up. Yeah. Is that what you're about to mention?
Exactly. You know, we're just past, Travis, what is it, 60,000 subscribers or downloads for Bohemic Inn. And we have more than that.
Since we migrated. We have twice as many. But
yeah, but so right now that's where we are. And we have a lot of people around the world that listen to the show and people that say, hey, man, I want to move to Czech Republic one day. What? How do you do it? And, you know, we have these personal experiences like Travis just mentioned.
Some of it's by hook or by crook.
Yeah, some of it's like, you know, being lucky. But if we were to be able to help people out with that construct of picking up your life and moving to another country and surviving, not just, you know, couch surfing at the age of 25.
Without speaking the language, without...
Do you do it? And I think we should do a show on that. And that's definitely coming up this year in 2016.
Learn. There's one episode I would like to mention on Bohemic Inn. If you want to hear a really great story, there's my Moldova trip. I think you titled it Backpackers something through Europe. So I started a trip through Eastern Europe. I went to the Ukraine, Hungary, Slovakia, and I tried to go to Romania. And I ended up going to Moldova, and there's a little sliver of a region called Transnistria, which most people haven't even heard of, but I've been there. It's like Russian, like honest to God, Soviet separatist. And they had a civil war over this and everything, but they still hold that border, and it's called Transnistria. I've been there, and I didn't even know it existed before I accidentally got there. I didn't even know confession time, 2005, I didn't know Moldova existed when I started on that trip east. And I now know. I had the stamp in my passport, which was the most proudest possession I owned, was my Moldovan visa. When I finally got it, I had to go to court. I was illegal. Oh my goodness. I just go listen to the episode. I never did make it to Romania. And that passport was stolen in Costa Rica years later. Like, oh, I'm just so bummed about that to this day. I'm just so angry. Anyways, there's just some great stories there of like learning the hard way and then deciding to learn the easy way and like, you know, figure stuff out and it's just great fun. I mean, tons of adventures, you know. Good and bad, but yeah.
Well, Thomas, if we could turn, since we're natural, you know, interviewers as well for what we do, we could turn the tables on you for a minute.
Oh, geez.
I've been enjoying listening to your show, American Biographies, and listening to what I like is that you've gone into, you pick one person and you just really go at it. And I think the recent one you have is on John Marshall. And one of my personal favorite American heroes in history
and the namesake
of my university, right? Marshall University.
Yeah.
John, you know, go Thundering Herd. Can I mention that? One thing I think we have in common with this is that when I really dive into somebody that I think is interesting and just not known, it gives me a little bit of extra energy, you know, especially a Czech person of ancient history here or of medieval times to give that information to people that may not be aware of it.
When you think that you person's that... underrated, like you're exactly. like, people should have this enthusiasm when, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And so I guess my question to you is, you know, I was looking and reviewing some of your shows with this. John Marshall was in the American Revolution. People know him as maybe the Chief Justice, and maybe that was it. But, I mean, he was so influential in the young republic of the United States. What I liked the most to hear about these stories was that, you know, he mixed it up, you know, at Valley Forge. I mean, he was at Valley Forge, you know, during this time. You know, so what was some of the time things you get when you research somebody that just excites you enough to dedicate a whole show to him?
I mean, it's just, for me, it's the things that are so human about them and –
yeah.
Things that are just so human that no one ever talks about. You mentioned Marshall's time at Valley Forge. You know, he's not just there shivering, but multiple people are attesting to his character, his optimism, you know, helping get them through real times of tribulation. I find Marshall's character, generally speaking, to be sort of inspiring. You know, he certainly dealt with his share of troubles. You know, in his marital life, he was not rich by any means starting out either, so he overcame a level of poverty from his early existence. And then when you juxtapose someone like Marshall, who has this great long career that is sort of obscure because it's in a more technical field, with, you know, someone like Jefferson, who I think a lot of Americans, at least in their college years like I did, have this intellectual affair with Jefferson. And Jeffersonianism, when they're like, oh, man, the man sucks. You know, let me find someone to justify my anti-authoritarian beliefs. Then you find someone like Marshall or John Adams, who almost have a more complete and more generous character than the more famous person like Jefferson.
Yeah.
And it's in that juxtaposition that really makes me want to keep going and makes me want to do for John Marshall something similar to what David McCullough did for John Adams' reputation.
Absolutely.
Or Ron Chernoff did for Alexander Hamilton's reputation. And that's not comparing myself or what I do in any way, shape, or form to those guys, but more the Marshall story specifically, and the guy I've picked out to do next, Henry Clay, are just people who have a breadth of career that is so wide and so far-reaching that there's almost so much they...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Accomplished, that it's none of it reaches the highest peaks in many cases and is therefore forgotten, but it really forms a lot of the bedrock of our history.
I think, you know, absolutely. I get the same sort of feel when I dive in something, but you know, it's tougher for the antiquity aspect. I want to say antiquity. Let's just say go back 500 years, 400 years or so in Czech history. We're doing Bohemian podcasts, or we're doing the history of alchemy, Travis. You know, it's, you know, we run into these problems all the time where we have the facts, we've got maybe some anecdotal stories, we have legends, a lot of legends, but we don't have like the, you know, a whole lot of correspondence or real stuff because it's such an old history. Unlike, you know, with Marshall, I can almost see him, you know, when you're describing him, right? When we're reading something about him, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but. Yeah. But, you know, we talk about alchemists on the show. Like, Travis, how many times have we come up with maybe an alchemist from, especially from the Middle East? And we're okay, we have enough information for maybe a 5-minute show. So we have to
– they'll be like, okay, all right, folks, our only source here is Italian Wikipedia that I had to Google Translate. You with me? All right, here we go. And, oh, man, yep.
Yeah, no, I'll be the first to admit that talking about American history, it's a wealth – of primary sources. I mean, the Virginia House of Delegates had a recorder, essentially. So I know a lot about the day-to-day transactions of, you know, the Virginia State Legislature in 1794. And I have almost verbatim speeches. And the same with the things going on in the House and the Senate itself. You know, it's pretty much recorded.
Actually, so the speeches...
It's insane.
Yeah, the fact that you... So I have... my newest show that I've launched is... it's only 2 months old. But it's only in German, but it's also about, it's called Americana für euch, like Americana for you. And I've actually just translated American, like I translated the I Have a Dream speech. I translated the Ich bin ein Berliner, Kennedy's going to Berlin speech into German. And just be like, you know what, maybe you've read this in German, but I'm just going to say it out loud, maybe, you know, and try to read it like a speech in German. And the translation I found, like, I wouldn't, that doesn't quite have the same meaning. And I think just the fact that you can go back and read those things and they're just there for us to read, brings so much of that era alive. Like, you see so many of the other things that are going on that maybe aren't even the direct main point of the speech. Like the undertone and just like, it's just great that, you know, those sources are there. I've done, so my format is very different. My shows are usually like 10 minute in the 10 minute range. And I've done a show on waterbeds, you know, so I just like American pop culture and history. And because what, a quarter of Americans owned waterbeds in the early 90s, late 80s, something like that. A quarter of all American households had a waterbed. Germans might not know this. I don't know if you knew this, but so I did like a 5-minute episode on it. But that's just it's just stuff that's there. It's just stuff I can go look up on YouTube and, you know, a half-remembered documentary or, you know, and just go rewatch it and take notes and fill in the blanks with. Actually, even Wikipedia itself is 10 times better if you're looking up U.S. history than if you're looking up you know, weird part of a small Moravian town or something. You know, you're trying to find out something about a noble family in the 17th century. And, it's just so much fun just being able to just do that and you know, have a deep dive into a topic and you know, do that. So,
Travis needs to mention, though, too, that his show, he says, is a little bit different. It really is because, you know, during the Bohemian show and when we do the Alchemy show, it's a two-person back-and-forth conversational deal. And I think a lot of people like that, and it's not new. I mean, a lot of people that do the same sort of thing. However, Travis has taken the idea. Now, you might remember, if you're of my age, you know, early 40s, you might remember in school that we had some of these leftovers from the 60s and 70s of those old history sort of for education. You know, yep. You were there. Do you remember those? You know, that you know, and you were there. And it actually had a TV producer or reporter at the scene at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, you know, and so it kind of got kids more interested in school. Yeah. Travis is doing the same sort of idea. Act it out. Yeah, it's you jump right into the action.
I thought you were going to say, okay, because my next episode, and I actually had to ask Pete about this, and I asked a couple other people. I only know Hee Haw from
the TV show,
from referencing it, from other movie references, because it was still on TV when I was a kid, but I lived in Munich, and I just that just passed me by, and so I was like, all right, Pete, like I know Hee Haw, I watched an episode, but like, what effect did it have on you as a child? Like, you know, did you look forward to it? Did you just barely watch it? Did you watch it with your parents? I mean. And so my next episode that I'm publishing here in a couple of days, I already recorded it, is going to be on Hee Haw. And it's just, yeah, a lot of fun. So it just kind of goes back to contemporary history. It's not always history. But I've gone back a lot to the 19th century. I did one on cowboys and different aspects of like the Iroquois Confederacy and Monk Mound in St. Louis, like the pre-Columbian civilization. And and that, you know, just really, and I learn a lot by doing this. I feel like I'm catching up. And by then translating it to German, it's just, there is nothing more Travis Dow than this. Like, I'm learning about my own past and translating it into a way that I kind of understand. I'm digesting it for myself by translating it into German and telling my fellow, you know, the people I grew up with, you know. It's just a great experience. But yeah, so obviously I'm enthusiastic. I did 30 episodes in 30 days. When I first had
a
lot of coffee, a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings. That's why I say, hey, oh, this call's at 6 a.m. Yeah, all right. That's, you know, I guess I can only just barely manage to have breakfast beforehand. That's cool.
Travis.
But, Travis. Yeah, so.
Enthusiastic, I think, is an understatement for you. Because, I mean, I talk to a lot of podcasters and I correspond with even more. generally, we're all hardworking bunch.
I'm just everywhere at once.
Rides. I
He's
mean,
insane.
Yeah, you're absolutely insane. Like, I really hope you never in your life start to accumulate cats at the same rate you do podcasts, because that's not going to be a good scene. Yeah. You know, but so you've mentioned a couple so far, and you kind of have these all organized.
Oh, okay. You want me to list them real quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. So just like, here's what we do. So it's History of Alchemy and Bohemican is what Pete and I co-host, and that's what we started off with. Then next came History of Germany, which I instantly, as an experiment, decided to do in two languages. So it exists as History in Germany in English, and I'm about 32 episodes in, right in the middle of the Franks. Charles the Great was the last episode published yesterday, and the next one is with Lesser Bonapartes. We talk about Charles the Great. That's coming up next week. But yeah, so History of Germany in two languages, and then because I did a podcast in German, I learned so much about the culture of podcasters in Germany. And so, I had a lot of, you know, met a lot of interesting people there, usually through Twitter, which I've never really used Twitter before, but that's all on Twitter. And then, I guess I had too much time on my hands with doing four feeds. I don't know. So to make my German better, really, there's a show in German I love. It's just one of my favorite shows out there, period. And the original is called Das Geheime Kabinett, but I translate it as The Secret Cabinet. And The Secret Cabinet is a real thing, like they would have in museums. It comes out of, like Northern Italy. I forget where, maybe Naples, Southern Italy. In a museum, they would have The Secret Cabinet, stuff from history that you might not want to show the public, at least a 19th century, you know, genteel public. So there's just, yeah, so there's kind of scandalous artifacts from history, but it's presented in a very intellectual and classy way. And the German that does it, the original, his name is Mirko Gutjahr, but he goes by, so like Mirko Goodyear, but he goes by the name de guerre Der Buddler, the digger. He's an actual archaeologist. He works in the Martin Luther House. He's on German TV. He's been on German TV. Like, he's just, I mean, he knows his stuff. He's an academic and a professional, and he has a great sense of humor, and it's just his stories are written in just a fantastic way. And I just merely try to do it justice with The Secret Cabinet. If you haven't heard it, that's when I recommend. And that style has then kind of I've then changed that and built on that, and that is now Americana für euch, which next year will also exist in a couple of different ways in English. Pete is going to tackle that as is. He's going to do the Americana part and just do it in English, but in the different format, perhaps. And then we'll also have something called, we don't know the title yet, but Europa Export, or From Europe with Love, something of that nature. And this is going to be co-produced and co-hosted with a German podcaster who's just, you know, he's successful over in Germany. He's got a couple of podcasts under his belt, and we already got the scripts hammered out and the whole theme and format, and it's European stories putting you, so, you know, I mean, just, I told him, I'm like, we got to go the things you don't want to talk about, so communists, Nazis, you know, everything. So one of the first ones I wanted to do was what it's like to put the listener in the middle. You, the listener, are a Jew in the Warsaw Ghetto fighting for life and death in the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. That's going to be like one of the top 10, just like mind. If that doesn't blow your mind and make you want to go listen to that, then I don't know what will. Right. Another one is you're playing soccer in northern France, and you're trying not to sweat too hard because you're afraid of the coach telling you to go take a shower afterwards because, and your Hitler Youth uniform is getting a little tight because, yeah, you're a Jewish orphan somehow playing soccer in a Hitler Youth organization in occupied northern France. And stories like that. And then, of course, hey, you know, the East German Trabant and some lighthearted ones. It's not all going to be doom and gloom. So a couple of different versions of Americana für euch are going to make its way to English next year. And then, like, what I'm probably most excited about, actually, is the one that we don't even know exactly how it's going to happen, how we're going to manage this, but Pete will take charge, and he's going to do Past Access. And that's the one where we're going to tell stories, mostly from Pete's life, of what it's like to live in the Czech Republic, what it's like to have spent decades in a wheelchair, and you know, how it's like to get used to that, and not just live, but like thrive and do things that I've never done. And you know, so that, I mean, that's all coming up. I think, what does that make, 9-10 shows? Weird.
It's an empire.
At this point, I should say, I'm not saying this is me and Pete. Me and Pete are, there's 8 of us. And so there's like 4 podcasters, you know, that I've mentioned now. There's Stefan Giesbert from Germany and Mirko Gutjahr from Germany. And then Pete and myself. And we're encouraging a 5th podcaster. We have 2 writers. We have an editor. So yeah, no, it's not us. And thank you. I should do a huge shout out, because we couldn't do this without Kim and Joe and Andrew. They do work just as hard as we do. And yeah, it's just, I mean, we're definitely a part of a crew now. This is something that is larger than us. And it would just crumble if you remove one of those puzzle pieces, one of those cogs in the wheel, then yeah, the whole thing falls apart at this point.
Started over a bunch of coffee at work.
This all grew out of like a little bit of too much caffeine at work, maybe, and then, you know, an available meeting room and a $6 microphone. Our first microphones were like a $6 microphone. Yeah, yeah, seriously, $6. And I mean, I think you can tell. I'm not saying go do that.
Yeah, but... it sounds like it.
Yeah. but
so yeah. All this is Podcastnik.
Podcastnik.com, you'll get there. Bohemican.com has more, because there's YouTube channels and that kind of thing. There's a history of alchemy.com and a history of Germany podcast.com. But yeah, Podcastnik.com, podcast, N-I-K, like, think, you know, Sputnik. That's the umbrella site where you'll find everything. And upcoming stuff will be there too, so...
Twitter accounts, see what we look Facebook, like, you can go to YouTube, if you want to.
I'm actually, so our YouTube channel is really turning into something.
I had a guy from Romania email me on the Bohemian YouTube channel, and he said, "You look a lot older than I thought." I went, "Thank you."
Thank you? Question mark? Yeah.
Was it my gray hair? What?
You get to see me wear my grandfather's World War II uniform in Pilsen for the 70th anniversary of the U.S. liberation of Pilsen in the Czech Republic. Like, and we interviewed General Patton's granddaughter. We got Helen Patton on camera.
Yeah.
A little message to Bohemian. Like, I mean, just go have a listen. Pete spent months editing these. It's documentary quality.
It's so hard. I got to tell you, it's not my first rodeo doing video editing, but it just is time-consuming to
Pete.
Do video editing.
This is Pete's blood and sweat. Yeah. I mean, I've taken a stab at it for Alchemy, but yeah, it's hard work. Definitely the Bohemian YouTube channel is worth mentioning.
Definitely. Everyone should check that out.
Thomas, I could tell you a couple of the shows coming up on Bohemian this year as a forethought. We've got some neat shows. I got an interview coming up with the grandson, or I'm sorry, the son of a downed B-17 pilot that crashed here in Czech Republic during World War II. And it's a neat story about how the local Czechs honored the B-17 pilots, even though they were shot down by the Luftwaffe in Nazi-controlled Czechoslovakia at the time, and the repercussions that came from that. So we're going to talk to him, and that's kind of a neat story about the crash here in Slaný, Czech Republic.
Oh.
And then we've got a couple other great stories.
Are you going to mention – okay, people don't know this, and this is just like everybody on this planet should know this story. The Czech army, when Czech Republic was just barely a nation, so it went from the Czech Foreign Legion to the Czech Legion kind of overnight, while they were just wrapping things up in World War I, they were in deep Russia, and suddenly the October Revolution happens, and the Red Armies that come in, and the Western powers don't really know what to do, but the Czech army is right there, and in fact, the Red Army is between them and their newly founded Czechoslovakia, the First Republic of Czechoslovakia. What do they do? They do the most awesome thing ever. They do the most awesome thing any army has ever done in the history of mankind. They hijack an armored train, and they take this Trans-Siberian Railroad, the whole army, and they head towards Vladivostok, a conquering, a looting, politely looting as they go, leaving pregnant women, not through rape in most cases, like Russian women falling in love with these Czech soldiers, and leaving some soldiers behind too, by the way, as they go. There's Czech genes, definitely for sure, along the Siberian Railroad. And getting to Vladivostok successfully, legendarily with a huge load of czarist gold. That's a whole nother story, but we talk about that too. And then you have pictures of them in Tokyo, sailing around India, going that way through the Suez Canal, going to San Francisco. The bulk of them, perhaps, went to San Francisco, and then again by train to New York. You see them in New York. You have pictures of Czechoslovak soldiers in New York City, and then Paris, and Germany, and finally home when they get to the Prague train station. And just like, oh my goodness, how did this story get forgotten? The Prague army was in San Francisco and opened with welcome arms, or Los Angeles, or wherever they arrived, or both, and Chicago and New York, and had a parade every American city they went, and had come from the Ural Mountains, basically, and went to Prague. And just like, yes. So that's coming up. And that is, I should say, that is like years, years in the planning, a year in the making. Like, we're finally putting it all together. Not to oversell it, but it's such a great story.
I interviewed descendants of some of these guys, say photography of their fathers or their great grandfathers.
So we're going to talk about some of the pictures.
Archives and Czech archives. I mean, we've really dove into it, read several books for it. So, I mean, we're trying to do it justice
because it really is one of those stories that, one of those stories in mankind history that we feel is like underappreciated. That's why we're podcasting in the first place. And when we first thought of Bohemian, we did instantly think of this story. So that was like 3 years ago. And we just didn't want to sell it short. I mean, we're looking forward to it. It's coming up now, relatively soon. So
that's fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that story. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I've kind of just one more thing I want to throw out to both of you.
Now, we've talked about both your backgrounds, and Pete, you obviously went to school for broadcast journalism, and you worked in that field for a number of years.
I did.
And Travis, you, as a professional podcaster, have sort of risen from the amateur ranks. and you know, what have you found there to be in ways of differences in your approaches to podcasting based on those separate backgrounds?
Okay, one thing is, I think doing totally different ideas, totally different formats, and totally different subject matter has made it all fresh again. So now I'm reading so much about U.S. history, for instance, or watching documentaries from the 70s, or watching Hee Haw episodes, for Pete's sake. And I would just love to have a Saturday, like today, I'm going to spend half a day, and I would just love to get back to some of my alchemy books and read, you know, like alchemy to me is like fun again. I want to get back to that. And I think doing all these different things just makes it all fun. I mean, you know, talking about the Franks and the Saxons and then on the next day talking about opium pipes or China, you know, the opium dens in Chinatown in San Francisco that, you know, it just like, it's totally different. That's what makes it fun. Now, now the fact that I was able to find fantastic people to help me out with writing and editing and more and more also with recording, it's just all a bonus. Like, this is just all being better than I've ever hoped. And it's just, I'm along for the ride to some degree now. And it's just it's a lot of fun and it's great. I recommend podcasting, but I also warn that it might be addictive and you might lose some hours of well-needed sleep and you might forget your wife's middle name and you might forget your dog's name. And do I have children? Do I have children, guys?
You have a dog.
Okay. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. I just had a like miniature heart attack. Cause like, if I had children, you're like, oh man, my wife's out of town.
Them.
My wife's out of town today. I don't remember where. I think LA, but this is bad. Okay, anyway. Oh yeah. So there should be a warning label on on every podcasting microphone. There's a lot of fun, maybe too much fun. So beware. But yeah.
Oh, I would have to say for me, the one word answer for that would be freedom. One thing that I enjoyed doing when I was doing radio and doing documentary type style productions or news radio or sports reporting through bits and pieces of the 1990s was the fact that I could, you know, really kind of start a story off and, you know, give my full efforts to it. But I was really curtailed by time and what my news director or what the time allotment we had or the breadth of the article could only curtail because, you know, you had to fit it in for advertisers or you had to fit it in for, you know, other things. You were kind of handcuffed. And I think that with podcasting, man, I could do anything I want. You know, I mean, I can be the creative consultant. I can be the script writer. I can be the voice talent. I can go out there and find something that I want to talk about. And so like a really strong American feeling for me to have this freedom to do what we used to call pirate radio, you know, back in the day. And
you're meeting a lot of like-minded folks, people that I never thought I'd actually talk to, you know, when I started out. Laszlo Montgomery, that's not his real name, but the the China history podcast guy, not the history of China, not Chris, but Laszlo Montgomery.
Very own Chris Stewart.
Yeah. He was right here. He was at my dinner table, my kitchen table, and I served him, you know, Chinese tea. Like, I've met, it's been a blast actually meeting. Royfield was here in the Bay Area. We had a beer in a...
Royfield Brown, yeah.
Royfield Brown, yeah, our benevolent leader for Agora was, you know, we had some beers in a hole-in-the-wall taco joint. We had some bottles of Dos Equis or something. You know, a couple of them, probably one too many for me to then drive home from San Francisco. But you know, great times. And it's just a blast. And I think we should mention that there's a new history podcast. If you go to historypodcasters.com, there's a collage out there right there because I helped edit the last one. And we're going to do another one. And it's not just – so first of all, of course, you know, the Agora Podcast Network and what they're doing is phenomenal. I couldn't do what I do without Agora, first of all. Period. Agora now is part of my own, the Podcastnik cog. But also go check out darkmyths.org. There's a lot of cross collaboration there, including so Bohemican and the Eastern Border podcast, Christops Andresen. If I didn't just butcher his name, sorry, Christops. But we did some shows together about, in communism, the shops where you could buy the Western goods like Coca-Cola and hi-fi systems. So there's, you know, just the fact, I love it that all the podcasters are working together, and even you're going to find Dark Myths guys and Agora guys together on those History Podcasters collages. And this is, you know, I love this atmosphere. This could have all been gone differently. You know, this could have all been very different. And it's just not that way. We all get together on Facebook. We all know each other, at least on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah. And I think we've all done, at least plugs, but we've all done guest shows and you know, collaborations. And that's half the fun at this point. Like, I just love being a part of that group of people. And Pirate Radio, that's what brought this up, is like, yes, we are a part of something new, aren't we? Like the generation of podcast listeners, period. Absolutely. Is just great. And you know, we're doing something that hasn't really been done before, hasn't been done for a long time. So
I think there's, you know, Thomas, there's a fraternity in the podcasting area that we all kind of know each other. You get to a certain point, you kind of know each other, and you know, you can bring a lot of gravitas to what you do. You know, I could say, hey, I write 15,000 books. I, you know, teach a class at the local university. Or you could be just some guy that just wants to talk about this, you know, or whatever.
Let me tell you about waterbeds.
Yeah. You know, there's room for you at the table. And I think it's a fraternity that reminds me a little bit of ham radio operators.
Yeah.
college radio.
My receiver, yeah. I get stuff all the way from Germany, you guys. I get stuff all the way from Berlin. What's going on here? This is crazy. It is like, you know, that, though. I love that.
And you put it all together. And then at the higher end, you got things like All Things Considered, like NPR type stuff. And I think there's a room for everybody at this podcasting table. And I think, you know, Travis and I are very fortunate that we can have the opportunity. When I go back to saying it's the true freedom to talk to people about, you know, what we enjoy.
Yeah, I think you guys hit it on the nose, particularly with the fraternity angle. You know, there's I don't know if people who don't podcast imagine like there's some great competition between us, like that. Right. Oh, Agora squaring off against Dark Myths or something like that.
Uh-uh.
Not at all. No. I know a lot of those guys. I talk to a lot of those guys
daily. We hang out with those guys daily on Facebook. Yeah. Like, there's just no such animosity whatsoever. Yeah,
there's. Well, I look at it, and I think a lot of people look at it, is there's room enough for everybody to succeed, and we all want everyone to succeed. It's a very very good community.
Yeah. If you're a history podcaster just starting out, you know, ping me somewhere. I'll take a listen and give you a plug. I mean, that's what we do. That's why we make these networks, to help out the people that are just starting. I wish all this stuff existed when we first started out. If Agora would have existed from day one, oh man, it just would have taken so much stress away, like just right from the beginning, kind of knowing of what to do and how to do it and where we're heading and needing help with editors or writing or graphic design. Like, who can make a logo? How do you make a logo? We got guys for that. It's me, but we got guys for that. You know, Agora has guys for that. So if you need help on Twitter, you know, that kind of thing, like, we got Twitter accounts for those. So yeah, I wish all that stuff existed before, is what I'm saying. It's great that all that stuff's around now.
But here's one little last bit of thing, and I know we're way over time here, Thomas. But
let's keep the final word here.
Yeah, okay. But and this is a funny final word. It doesn't matter how awesome you are as a podcaster. This is a rule that you need to know. Never open that up when you talk to a girl for the first time on a first date. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
This is not something you don't hand them a card saying, hey, I'm a podcaster. You know, don't do that, because it never
works.
Well,
I worked with my developers for a year before I literally handed out a card that said I'm a podcaster.
With a link on it. I don't really know what the reason for that is. I'm saying that, but I've heard that before from other people.
No. Yeah. Keep it to yourself if you're a podcaster. Don't tell people in the real world. Oh my goodness.
At least don't lead with that.
Don't lead that. Yeah, exactly.
I would even probably make that the third date sort of situation, you know?
This is good advice, Pete. This is good stuff.
On the weekends.
this is why we have Pete on all shows. I gotta
ground you down. This is real world stuff I'm talking about here.
Yeah,
right?
Keep it to yourself if you are a podcaster, but ping me privately and I can help you out.
All right, guys. This has been a lot of fun. I can't deny that. Thank you both so much for giving me your time and, you know, sharing some of your private life with the listeners. I think everyone's really going to appreciate it. So, guys, I just want to say thanks again.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
Yeah. Have a great day.
You too. Okay. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's all for this time, folks. Remember to check out podcastnik.com for more on Pete and Travis's work, and also make sure you visit agorapodcastnetwork.com to see our full stable of shows, including our newest members like the Unapologetic Capitalist, the Renaissance English History Podcast, the History of Islam, and the Lands of Leviathan. Also, make sure you follow Agora on Facebook and Twitter at Agora Podcasts, so you don't miss out on any of our great network original content. Okay, I'm Tom Daly, signing off for The Exchange. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.